From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages from the ministry of Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will begin a series of studies in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Servants Honored. The text is Proverbs 27 and verse 18. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. He who tends the fig tree has figs for his pains, and he who waits on a good master has honor as his reward. Truly, the Lord Jesus is the very best of masters, and it is an honor to be allowed to do the least act for his sake. To serve some lords is to watch over a crab tree and eat the crabs as one's wages. But to serve my Lord Jesus is to keep a fig tree of the sweetest figs. His service is in itself delight. Continuance in it is promotion. Success in it is blessedness below, and the reward for it is glory above. Our greatest honors will be gathered in that season when the figs will be ripe, even in the next world. Angels who are now our servitors will bear us home when our day's work is done. Heaven, where Jesus is, will be our honorable mansion, eternal bliss our honorable portion, and the Lord Himself our honorable companion. Who can imagine the full meaning of this promise? He that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Lord, help me to wait upon my master. Let me leave all idea of honor to the hour when thou thyself shalt honor me. May the Holy Spirit make me a lowly, patient worker and waiter.
I shall never hunger, oh my
Pastor A.W. Tozer was one of the spiritual giants of the 20th century. A self-made scholar with an insatiable hunger for the deep things of God, he was known to often burn the midnight oil in his study, seeking a more profound experience of his Lord and Savior. His book, The Pursuit of God, is the result of long meditation and much prayer. It is not a collection of sermons. It does not deal with the pulpit and the pew, but with the soul athirst for God. Some of the chapter titles include Apprehending God, The Gaze of the Soul, and Meekness and Rest. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns commences a series of studies on the life and ministry of the central person of the entire Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the days and weeks ahead, Dr. Cairns will set forth the vast panorama of the earthly ministry of the second person of the Holy Trinity, who condescended to take upon himself a true human body and nature, walked among men teaching of the kingdom of God and performing miracles that attested to his divinity, ultimately submitting to the shame and death of the cross to redeem sinful men and women. The series begins with the event that marked the beginning of Christ's ministry on earth, his baptism. In this message, Dr. Cairns will show the difference between the baptism practiced by John the Baptist and Christian baptism, answering the question, why did Jesus submit to John's baptism? Now, to begin a message entitled, Christ's Baptism Unto Repentance, here is Dr. Cairns.
Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. Matthew's Gospel, the third chapter, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle was about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. This morning I want us to think particularly of what we read in verse 13 and 14. Well, I suppose 15 as well, but mainly the wording of, we'll take 13, 14, and 15. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. The baptism of John the Baptist was a baptism unto repentance. I don't want to get off the subject right at the beginning, but the unto is important in the doctrine of baptism. There are people who like to build almost entirely their doctrine of baptismal regeneration upon the Greek preposition that is here translated, unto. They call their gospel, for example, the Acts 2:38 gospel, because there you're commanded to repent and to be baptized, and it is a baptism that is said to be unto the forgiveness of sins, or for the forgiveness of sins. The idea, we are told, is that the preposition means you're baptized, and as the result of that, you have the forgiveness of sins. Well, actually, it's a brave man, maybe I should rephrase that and say a foolish man, that would build a whole doctrine on his interpretation of a preposition. Prepositions are wonderful parts of speech in any language, and certainly in the New Testament, they have very powerful implications. But to build the doctrine that baptism is necessary for forgiveness on the preposition unto is certainly taking a leap in the dark. For example, when we read in Matthew 12 that Jonah went preaching to the Ninevites, we read there that, in the English version, that they repented at the preaching of Jonah. The Greek preposition is they repented unto the preaching of Jonah. Now the question arises, which came first, the preaching or the repenting? Obviously they didn't repent in order to obtain the preaching of Jonah. They repented upon having received the preaching of Jonah. Or as our translators aptly put it, at the preaching of Jonah. Here in Matthew chapter 3, we find that John is speaking in verse 12, I baptize you with water unto repentance. Now, again, you ask yourself the question, which came first, the baptizing or the repenting? We are told a little earlier that they came being baptized, confessing their sins. In other words, the repenting was what led them to be baptized. It was because they repented that they came to be baptized. It was not the result of their baptism that they repented. And that should be clear to anybody. And similarly, in Christian baptism, baptism does not produce the cleansing from sin. It declares the cleansing from sin. It is because one has already repented and received Christ, and the cleansing that the blood of Christ imparts, that he comes to be baptized. But enough about Christian baptism. This is John's baptism, which was pre-Christian. It was a baptism unto or of repentance. It was a baptism that declared that the person being baptized had truly, honestly repented of his sin. Now keep that in mind. When you came to John to be baptized, you came confessing, I am a sinner, but I repent of my sin, and therefore I come to be baptized. That's what you declared when you came to the baptism of John. Now, it is the uniform testimony of the New Testament that the Lord Jesus Christ was completely sinless. He was sinless in nature. He was sinless in his birth. He was sinless in his dispositions of will. He was sinless in all the volitions or choices that he made. He was sinless in his thoughts. He was sinless in his words. He was sinless in his actions. He was sinless in his purposes. He was sinless in his attitudes. And he was sinless in all his relationships, in relation to the law of God, in relation to the Father, and in relation to all men. He was absolutely and completely without flaw. The sinlessness of Christ was no surface holiness. He was sinlessly perfect all the way through. And the more deeply you penetrate into the personality and the mystery of the person of Christ, then the more you will come to be struck with the integrity and the absolute purity of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say also that his was not an achieved sinlessness? He did not proceed from sinfulness to sinlessness. In the hotel we were staying in, Joan opened the drawer beside the bed, and we noticed where they usually have a Gideon's Bible, that there was a Gideon's Bible, but beneath it there was another book put out by some society for the propagation of Buddhism. And there they had all the so-called wisdom of Buddha. And they start off with a life story of Buddha. And they tell us how he is supposed to have come to be what they claim he was. It was interesting that he spent the first 30 years of his life in self-indulgence, in seeking the great things of the world. Then we're told that he gave these things up, and by years and years and years of total self-denial and crucifying the flesh, he ultimately came to perfection. Of course, he was as big a sinner at the end of it as he was at the beginning. Internalizing sin never changes it. But leave that aside. The fact of the matter is, the best they can claim is an achieved sinlessness. The Lord Jesus Christ was never a sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ never ascended from sinfulness to achieve sinlessness. Being God incarnate, the divine in union with the human, He was always, totally, without sin in all His being. So it was not a surface holiness, it was not an achieved holiness, and certainly it was no mere relative holiness. The Bible speaks of holy men of old who wrote the Old Testament, and they were holy men, but they were only relatively holy. Isaiah, one of those writers, cried out, "Woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." But dwelling in the midst of an unclean people, Isaiah towered like a mountain of holiness. But it was only a relative holiness. That was true of David. It was true of Jeremiah. It was true of even Moses. It was true of Abraham. It was true of all the fathers. The best you can claim for holy men in this world is that they are relatively holy. But the Lord Jesus was sinless in the most absolute sense of the term, being none other than the God of eternal majesty manifested in human flesh. Yet, despite all this, right at the beginning of His public ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ presented Himself before John the Baptist, and He demanded to be baptized with a baptism of repentance from sin. Now John was shocked, and he protested. It appears that even John, the forerunner of the Messiah, had not fully grasped, indeed probably not being part of His ministry, it hadn't even been revealed to him, the depths of the plan of redemption in Christ. He couldn't understand why Christ was coming to be baptized with a baptism of repentance. John confessed that he was the sinner, that he needed to be baptized by Christ. But surely the sinless one needed no baptism of repentance. How on earth could he need to be baptized with a baptism of repentance? Yet there stood the Lord Jesus, insisting on being so baptized. And the reason he gave is very revealing. In verse 15, He says, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." The Lord Jesus is saying that, John, right now, no more argument, no more difficulties raised in the way. Whether you understand it or whether you don't understand it, now allow me to be baptized, because in this way we will fulfill all righteousness. And the message of that statement is clear, that the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ is part of His righteous obedience to God and to His law.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.